Good morning. Welcome as we come to worship on a colder morning. For those who are joining us online, the heat in church is not working this morning, so it's going to be a slightly shorter service as we huddle up a wee bit and carry on, because whether we're warm or whether we're cold, we still come to worship the same God, the same God who is the same yesterday, today, and indeed forever. Let's pray as we begin. This is how God showed him his love amongst us, that he sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him, because he bore our sins in his body on the cross, so we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed. Father, may your presence be amongst us today, empowering us and transforming us and making us into your likeness as you redeem us and set us free from the things that enslave us. In Jesus' name, amen. Can I invite Fiona to come and read us God's word today?
Today's reading is taken from Zephaniah chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, and chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. Gather together, O shameful nation, before the appointed time arrives, and that day sweeps on like chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord comes upon you, before the day of the Lord's wrath comes upon you. Seek the Lord, all ye humble of the land, you who do what he commands. Seek righteousness, seek humility. Perhaps you will be sheltered on the day of the Lord's anger. Woe to the city of oppressors, rebellious and defiled. She obeys no one, she accepts no correction. She does not trust in the Lord, she does not draw near to her God. Her officials are roaring lions. Her rulers are evening wolves who leave nothing for the morning. Her prophets are arrogant. They are treacherous men. Her priests profane the sanctuary and do violence to the law. The Lord within her is righteous. He does no wrong. Morning by morning, he dispenses his justice. And every new day, he does not fail, yet the unrighteous know no shame. I have cut off nations, their strongholds are demolished. I have left their streets deserted with no one passing through. Their cities are destroyed, no one will be left, no one at all. I said to the city, surely you will fear me and accept correction. Then her dwelling would not be cut off, nor all my punishments come upon her. But they were still eager to act corruptly in all they did. Therefore wait for me, declares the Lord. For the day I will stand up to testify. I have decided to assemble the nations, to gather the kingdoms, and to pour out my wrath upon them, all my fierce anger. The whole world will be consumed by the fire of my jealous anger. This is the word of the Lord.
So we're a second week into a three-week series on Zephaniah, awakened by hope. Zephaniah, that little book of the Bible that maybe we don't always dip into, we've maybe never even heard much about, sits towards the end of the Old Testament, known as one of the lesser prophets. But he delivers a powerful blend of warning and of encouragement. Shows and unfolds as we go through the book, because last week was reasonably heavy with all of God's warning and the day of the Lord and the judgment that was coming. But as we travel through the book, we see what unfolds is God's deep desire for repentance and renewal. And so he addresses spiritual complacency. The fact that sometimes as believers in God, we become a little bit complacent with our faith and with where we stand with him. And we allow other things, external factors, to affect our walk with God and our witness for him. And then overall, the light of the good news begins to dim. And his gospel begins to get lost. As we heard last week, King Josiah, at the age of 8, brought spiritual renewal to the nation, anew and afresh, and revival happened. And so the challenge for us is the reawakening of God's presence in our lives. Let's pray before we look at these verses today. Father God, we thank you that you are present with us already. So our invitation for you to be here is not neglecting that, nor negating that, but it is opening our hearts and our minds before you. ready to receive what you have for us today. From the truth of your eternal word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So those verses that Fiona read for us today, thank you, Fiona, came from the first few verses of chapter 2, the first few verses of chapter 3. Just three chapters in this short book. But here we hear God's call to repentance. We heard about that last week, but it's reiterated again this week. But this week we hear that this call to repentance is actually rooted in his covenant love. That God made a covenant with his people, the people that he would call his people. He made a covenant with them. And it's in that covenant love that God works out not only love and grace, but repentance, forgiveness, and justice. Hebrew word was hesed, a deep sense of covenant, a deep sense that God has entered into this moment of recognition with the people that he calls his own. And whenever he does that, he is faithful to it, and he will not let it go. And so in chapter 2, verse 1, Zephaniah urges a humble return back to God. So he's given them that the day of the Lord is coming, judgment is happening, and so this is the call to God's people, to that nation at that time, and to us today, to come back. He says, gather together, gather yourselves together, you shameful nation, before the decree takes effect, and that day passes like a windblown chaff, before the Lord's fierce anger comes upon you, before the day of the Lord's wrath comes, seek the Lord. Gather yourselves together. It's a very powerful wee phrase, isn't it? It's kind of a phrase we use in Northern Ireland a wee bit. Get your act together, would ye? Gather yourself up, would ye? Gather yourselves together. In other words, get your house in order. Get yourself right before the Lord. And then gather with other people who are doing the same. And in that moment, God's covenant love of justice, of grace, of forgiveness brings revival because the hearts of God's people are once again turned towards him wholeheartedly, eyes up, hearts focused. He's reminding the community the Lord longs to shelter all who seek him. That comes way back whenever God gave the tablets of the Ten Commandments to Moses. In Exodus chapter 34, it says this, and he, that is the Lord, passed in front of Moses. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, who's slow to anger, who's abounding in love and faithfulness. He maintains love to the thousands and forgives wickedness and rebellious sin, yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. Then the Lord said, I am making a covenant with you before all people. I will do wonders never before done in any nation in all the world. So there's a responsibility in God's people to come to him and to lay our hearts bare before him. Whenever we do that, God does a mighty thing in and through his people that the world hasn't seen before. Now, there is nothing new under the sun. And so revival has happened before. God's people have turned their hearts back to him, and the communities around them have been transformed by his Spirit. Oh, that that day would happen again for us. And we see that call again in those verses at the beginning of chapter 3 in Zephaniah. The Lord within her is righteous. He does no wrong. Morning by morning he dispenses his justice, and every new day he does not fail. Yet the unrighteous know no shame. Repentance is both an individual and a communal thing. So we know, having listened to preachers for many years, that we are called to ask and seek God for forgiveness for our sins, for the things that we have done wrong. And it's right that we do that as individuals, preacher included. But we also do it communally every single Sunday. We repent of the things that we know we've done or the things that we have done but we didn't know we did do. Because communal repentance, not just individual ones, creates an atmosphere where God's Spirit can truly work, because our hearts collectively shift towards a focus on God. A shift towards away from our own ability, from our own eager desires to try to do it all ourselves. And it says, but God, it is about you. It is about what you have done for us and what you can do within me in this moment. And only you can do that. So whenever God's people individually do it, but then collectively and communally do it, something shifts within us. And so whenever we do the confession every Sunday, it should be more than just words that we know and have recited and have learned over the years. And often that's why we don't always do exactly the same words of confession every single week, because it allows us to think a little bit about what the words are that we're saying. This is a heartfelt turning from self-reliance to God. And even as judgment is proclaimed in these verses, grace remains accessible for those who are humble and contrite in heart. So Zephaniah might be proclaiming judgment, that God will come with full justice, but he's also saying there is grace available. And he said that before Jesus came. And so whenever we think about the cross and the fact that Jesus came, he died, and he rose again to forgive our sins, to pay the penalty for our wrongdoing, then grace is even more acceptable. That's why the curtain in the temple was torn in two, so we can step into the very presence of God right here, right now. And so even though judgment is proclaimed, even though a call to repentance is proclaimed in Zephaniah's time and in our day, and to us in this moment, as we sit here and hear this, grace is also acceptable, accessible to each one of us. So this warning to shake us out of spiritual complacency is one that we need to take heed of. Not simply to think, that's something I should do, or that's something I can get round to. It becomes a really important thing to take on board. And not just to take on board, but to act and to do. So repentance is a continual life-giving thing. Just kind of, it's not something we do once and then say, well, that's all that done. It's a continual thing. We come before the Lord seeking his forgiveness, knowing that he will protect our humble hearts. But we do that with a sense of urgency that God is calling us together to move in this place. So if there were some words from these verses of Scripture today that I want to leave us with, leave all of us, me included, with, it would be, get yourself together. So, get yourself together. Because grace is acceptable and accessible right now. Let's pray together. Pour out your Spirit, Lord. Convict us, challenge us, empower us, but above all, shake us out of any complacency that we find ourselves in. And in getting ourselves together, we get ourselves on track with you. In Jesus' name, amen. But may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon each one of us this day and forevermore. Amen. Amen.